This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hurricane Andre became more of a tropical storm and spared mostly places in Connecticut and in New York, although there was a ton of rain and some nasty winds and certainly some flood waters, so that soggy cleanup is continuing. Even a tornado touched down in a place in Massachusetts, Marlborough, Massachusetts. Pretty big one, too. I caught that video. But it is Tennessee where our thoughts and hearts lie with the people that were killed in the floodwaters there. 17 inches of rain in 24 hours. Hi, everybody. Sorry to start on such a somber note because we have some good news, too. One excuse is gone when it comes to getting the vaccine. I'll talk about that big story coming up. But looking at what happened in Tennessee and that extreme weather that they got was frightening. Where do you run? Where do you hide? Where do you find dry ground? And that ultimately was the problem. You know, in this one small area in Waverly where you have less than 5,000 people, houses were torn in half. Houses were ripped off their foundations and smashed into their neighbors, or worse, kept floating down in a sea of water and eventually collapsed underneath. You know, when you're told, well, you know, you can't go out, right? You can't cross flooded roads or walk areas. Turn around. Don't get in your car. But now you're trapped in your house. Some were able to scramble onto the roof and were rescued that way. Others ran to a nearby gym at a school, which was also flooded. But at least they could get a little bit higher up on bleachers and were able to stay a little bit dry while this tidal wave of water raged through this rural Tennessee area and just decimated it. Sad, sad stories about young kids being killed, drowning, falling from their fathers and mothers' arms. I mean, that really is the portrait of what happened there. Hate to paint such an ugly one, but that's it. Governor Lee from Tennessee said, you know, we're offering any assistance that we can, anything that we can do. They've got portable communication units that were being brought in to help restore service because everything you can imagine that you need to pick yourself up is gone, gone, gone. And it's just set a record for the most rainfall in a 24-hour span in Tennessee. But people just didn't have time to protect themselves. They had minimal time because that's the first thing you think of. And as I described, once it's too late, it's too late. And it just happened so quickly when you look out your window and homes are floating by. And if you have a second floor, do you have time to get there? Can you escape and find a place to get to dry ground? And that was the devastating part for so many that just had to try to scramble and figure it out. 21 people were killed. 50 others remained missing. On Sunday, that number's lowered a little bit after these catastrophic floods just swept through Middle Tennessee. It's going to take months to rebuild that area. They're doing those checks that reminded me eerily of what I heard about and saw in Biloxi, Mississippi, because they got the water from Katrina and how they were, and what they did do in New Orleans too, X-ing the houses and trying to find out if there was life inside or not. Oof. Heavy, heavy, heavy. And as I mentioned, in Connecticut, we have people listening to us in Stamford, Connecticut. You thought you might have got slammed by this, but mostly there were some outages, and there were some flooded roads, certainly, on Sunday and Monday. But it was downgraded to a tropical depression, and it kind of hung in one area of Connecticut, for example, before dropping a little bit of rain. but there was bigger concern of what it could have turned into. The ground is definitely saturated, or it was Monday when people woke up, and there's no question about that. Interstate 91 was closed in Hartford, and there, you know, there was water. I mean, there was water to deal with, but it could have been much, much worse. You know, still a Category 1 in the Atlantic Ocean. It just started to track a little bit further east. In New York, they had to deal with it. There was a big concert that was going on where the rain was falling so hard they had to tell people to clear. And, of course, there was lightning, too, as well. So that also spurred that on. The thing that now is what I call the buzz in your backyard and my backyard, well, it has been, is what's going on with COVID. Is your company changing the rules? Do you have to prove that you've had a shot or not? And the fact is that Pfizer now gets that approval, full FDA approval. So will that make the big difference for those who are afraid to get it, who were afraid that it was just too quick with the other vaccines? This one, like I said, has that full approval. So is it a game changer? Do the people who are unvaccinated say, okay, I'm getting vaccinated now. I feel more confident about this one and some of those side effects and some of what I heard about. I feel better about getting the full-on approval. Or is it a little bit of a game changer, but still not as big as an avalanche of those who step forward wanting to get a vaccine? That picture of that, is that what happens, or is it a little slower? I think it's going to depend on what the individual thinks, what's going through their head as to why, you know, they're not getting vaccinated. And if they have extreme thoughts and some of the conspiracy theories that are out there and they really have gravitated toward them, I don't know that that flips that script for them, that the story changes. But I think some will be vaccinated. And I absolutely believe that more and more we're going to see that employers are demanding vax cards, because once a few dominoes fall in the corporate world, more will fall. And as that happens, you'll see that there'll be more requirements for that. That it is going to be, hey, this is what it is. You have 5 weeks, you have 2 months, you have XYZ amount of time, and then that's it, because we're requiring that you get vaccinated. So it's not easy to pronounce. Comirnaty is what they're calling it, and that's what they're calling now this vaccine. But the FDA did give that full authorization on Monday. So millions of Americans can get that Comirnaty vaccine. Could they make it any harder to pronounce? You want people to get it, and they can't pronounce what it is. And, of course, it stands for Coronavirus Disease 2019 and mRNA, mRNA, which is part of that genetic code that tells cells to build proteins, if you were wondering. And then the TY, of course, community immunity. Clever, right? You get it. Okay, so no one can pronounce it, but they want the fully approved FDA vaccine. And if they want it and they can get it, give it to them, for goodness sake. What's on tap coming up?
Millions of Americans are preparing for food shortages. No wonder, with increasing bizarre news headlines, water shortages, and the trucking crisis, we're seeing the early warning signs. Food shortages can happen overnight, catching you completely by surprise. That's why it makes good sense to secure some emergency food kits while you can. Emergency food that stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage, unlike grocery store food that goes bad fast. The company to trust is My Patriot Supply. We've served millions of American families in recent years. Our food kits give you over 2,000 calories a day, which is what your body needs under stress to survive. We ship fast and discreet to your door. You'll have your food within days, too, not weeks or months. Our mission is your survival. Our food could definitely be a lifesaver when the peanut butter hits the fan. So don't wait. It's time to act. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
It's about time for the 15th anniversary of Sunny Bay. And it may be our 15-year anniversary, but it's your chance at winning from weekly drawings in our contest for better health. We owe our success to you, GCN listeners. So as our thanks, you may win our grand prize, an Amazon gift card, plus Sunny Bay's complete set of superior pain relief products and services with a total prize value up to $4,152. How do you enter the Sunny Bay 15th anniversary contest for better health? Easy. Just click sunny-bay.com. No purchase necessary. Remember, there will be weekly drawings. Yes, it's our 15th anniversary, and it's your chance to win in Sunny Bay's 15th anniversary contest for better health. For complete contest rules and prize values, visit sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
Do you feel like you're doing what you were made for? Do you love what you do? Do you feel inspired or at least pretty happy most days? In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big and Become Extraordinary, I share the secrets that rock stars share with me from the business world, people like Sir Richard Branson, or sports hall of famers like former Cowboy great Emmitt Smith. All of them had one thing in common. They paid attention to their gut, followed their dreams, and didn't listen to the critics. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon today.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
So what's coming up? I'll tell you what, Jeopardy, it has been, needless to say, an interesting transition after the great Alex Trebek. How do you replace a legend? Not with Mike Richards, who was caught on podcasts that he did saying all kinds of sexist, racist, and other things that he apologized for, but he resigned from his role as host. So Mayim Bialik instead is going to temporarily take over that role and then still do those primetime specials, but the Daily Show she'll host until they find a permanent host. And boy, they certainly had a lot of people that wanted it, including Aaron Rodgers, the quarterback for the Green Bay Packers, and LeVar Burton, who is very popular with people he wanted. So who knows, will any of those names float back or not, or will it be somebody else? That's just wait and see, right? Form of a question, that's all I know. Just make sure you form it in a question. Who will be the next host of Jeopardy? What is your answer? I don't know. I'm not sure. It could be LeVar Burton. Maybe Mayim. Maybe she decides. I don't think she wants to do The Daily Show, though, and I think that's probably part of that. All right, what else is on tap? Things that are coming up. Of course, what we're seeing in Kabul, that's a sad scene. We've seen the evacuations, and the Taliban is what's on tap is they want to stick to that 31st deadline of we're out on the 31st. That's that line in the sand, so to speak. So will they extend it? Are they extending occupation? The Taliban is saying no, they don't want to do that, that prolonging the occupation could provoke reaction. Can everybody be out by the 31st, that deadline to withdraw U.S. forces from Afghanistan? There is a struggle to evacuate American citizens and Afghan allies from the country, from that airport, from Kabul. It pretty much has been laid out that it's very unlikely that those evacuations can be completed. So what's on tap is something has to happen or something has to give, or are those people stuck, and what happens to them at the hands of the Taliban? Certainly something we don't want to think about. But listen, it's a terrorist organization. They're hunting people down on a list and then trying to pretend they're not. And then you see, you know, kids shot in the street and cover-ups of that. How can you trust this Taliban regime? The answer is you can't. You just got to get the hell out of there. And that's what they're trying to do. And the president has hinted at the possibility of extending the evacuation deadline, but that's not what the Taliban wants to do unless they somehow have an amazing change of heart, which seems very doubtful. I don't think that will happen. 28,000 people have been evacuated since the country fell to the Taliban, if you're curious, including 11,000 in the past 36 hours. 11,000. Over 33,000 have been evacuated since July, right? So before the Taliban took over. And that makes it dicey. Would have been different if that hadn't happened in Kabul and some of those other cities. So this, the rapid collapse really threw plans upside down as to how quickly, the reality is how quickly can they get out of there, and the answer is it seems unlikely if you do the math, and that's the problem. The math doesn't add up. There's just really not enough time, period, to make that happen. If you're planning on going to Hawaii, the governor is saying, it's kind of a risky time. And he's not saying you can't come, but they're restricting large events and restaurant capacity. And the idea is to dissuade people from coming to Hawaii because with the surge in COVID patients, the ICUs are filling up. So if think about small islands, something happens, anything where you need to be in an ICU unit and you're not getting it. And that's pretty much what he's saying. We're not going to have any room, so that's why it's risky. And you have to think about that. Is that the move that you're going to make or not? All right, what's on tap for Andrew Cuomo is a vacation. He's gone. He has left after having a stranglehold on being the governor in New York for a very long time. He gave his farewell address to New Yorkers hours before wrapping up his decade as gov came to an end. He turned over the power. Now there is a female governor for the first time in New York. And what he does next and what's on tap for him is probably not anything politically oriented. It doesn't seem. Maybe laying low, although I think it's very tough for him to lay low. That is not in his nature. So that seems highly, highly, highly unlikely. How about this? Fast food workers. Here's what's on tap for them. More money. Their paychecks rose 10%. Restaurants were facing serious hiring issues and still are. So how do you get people to work for you? Well, you could pay them more money. Offer them bonuses or whatever else you can do to entice those to come in and work. I mean, there's a 70% increase in job vacancies, a 10% decrease in people looking for work. So do the math there. Turnover rates are at an all-time high, 144% for limited service jobs. Wow, right? So your restaurant could be open, but you have to have the people to work it. right? And the job market is hot, hot, hot. Workers have options. 51% of workers say restaurant work lacks the consistent schedule and pay they want, and that it's often very, very taxing on them. So where are the potential employees going? According to an economic development researcher based in Charlotte, North Carolina, that I read about, Chuck McShane, his answers were this, that jobs in building material and garden supply stores, we saw how that took off during the pandemic. So there was a boom with the housing and home gardening frenzy kind of happening in the past year, and that was a 13% increase. Couriers and messengers was 11% increase. Warehousing and storage, 6%. Construction was just 1%. It makes sense if you think about where we're at. Food and beverage stores, 1%. Food service and drinking places, minus 11%. Accommodations, minus 26%. So that means logistically, right, you got to fill those jobs back up when the we're open for business sign is happening. So what's going on with restaurants is they have to figure out ways to entice people, like flexibility in hours. What about those that have children? What about benefits, sign-on bonuses, retention bonuses? So I think the culture is shifting when it comes to working in that industry, whether it's a restaurant or whether it's at a hotel or any kind of an amusement park or someplace that suffered through the pandemic and now is suffering because they don't have enough employees. How do you attract them? And I think that's the big story heading into the rest of the year and heading into 2021, trying to find responsible people to work in some of these stores and some of these shops and not lose customers because they lose their patience, right? Yeah. The U.S. State Department, by the way, boosting its vetting and evac efforts, like we talked about, with the operations at the Kabul airport entering a second week. So Afghanistan certainly will dominate the G7 talks coming up this week. You can only imagine that's probably going to be top at the dock. Stay with us.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
Kathy Hochul has become the state of New York's first female governor, being sworn in just after midnight Eastern on Tuesday. She had served as former Governor Andrew Cuomo's lieutenant governor since 2015, replacing him following his resignation after a report from the state attorney general found he had sexually harassed multiple women. The FDA is asking people not to use an animal deworming medication as treatment for COVID-19. The FDA tweeting that people should not use the drug ivermectin to treat COVID, as the medication is used to treat and prevent parasites in animals like horses and livestock. The FDA says that besides not being proven to treat coronavirus, the drug can cause severe side effects in humans, including allergic reactions, seizures, and even death. And Hawaii's governor is urging tourists to delay trips to the island as his state deals with an increase in COVID cases. Governor David Ige said Monday that lockdowns may be on the table again as Hawaii deals with an increase of infections and hospitalizations. This is USA Radio News. Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine received full approval from the Food and Drug Administration on Monday after being administered for the last 8 months under an emergency use authorization. Health officials say they hope the full approval will encourage more people to get the shot. CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky tells ABC News that the FDA's approval is a sign of the vaccine's safety and effectiveness.
You know, there have been over 40,000 people that have been studied in these clinical trials. More than 10,000 people have been studied for over 6 months. And we now have experience just in the United States alone of over 200 million people who have received doses of this Pfizer vaccine. We've been studying the safety and effectiveness over since December when this was authorized. We have an extraordinary amount of data, and I'm really pleased that the FDA not just took their time and did the due diligence that needed to be done, but did it quickly and efficiently to bring this to the American people as soon as possible.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Ed Fuchs is a registered pharmacist who understands how important the B complex of vitamins is for maintaining a healthy heart. That's why he drinks Pollen Burst from Longevity's complete line of nutritional supplements.
Pollen Burst has got the B vitamins in there. The B vitamins are so fascinating because most people are going to be deficient in the B vitamins because they're rapidly processed out of food. The B vitamins work on the brain, the heart, the skin, and the digestive system. When it comes to heart disease, we got 600,000 people in this country who die of heart disease every year. Some 64 million Americans have some form of heart disease. The B vitamins, a nickel's worth of B vitamins every day, is the most powerful nutritional way to protect yourself from heart disease.
To feed your heart the nutrients it needs for good health, order Longevity's Pollen Burst by calling 866-735-2470. That's 866-735-2470. Or on the web at brightsidebin.com. That's brightsidebin.com.
Time to
invade the. I thought we've done a great job. Obviously, we don't have our full game plan in, but we've done some good stuff, and we've made some calls that we'll be calling throughout the regular season. Defense like tonight's a little bit different than a lot of defenses we play, so it was good to kind of make those calls with them. And I thought the guys have been on the same page and making the right checks when they're needed. So it's definitely been a good first two games, and I'm looking forward to the third. Just being on the same page when it's kind of the real thing. I mean, obviously at practice you're going hard and you can really communicate. There's a crowd, but it's not loud. People are their juices are flowing in the game. So just kind of whenever the game's going on, being able to communicate with the whole offensive line, being on the same page and being able to execute whenever the play's called.
All right, at the beginning of the week, the Man Cave, or Woe Man Cave, or whoever wants to come in the cave and talk about sports, is really about water cooler buzz. You know, we are now winding down a lot of the preseason and getting ready for the real thing pretty soon here. So there are conversations happening around teams about players getting more reps, superstar players, and some getting less. And what's the philosophy behind that? Like Andy Reid with the Kansas City Chiefs, the coach, was asked over and over again, I think in the last couple of weeks, why Pat Mahomes is playing so much in the preseason, why he's taking so many snaps. He took 30-plus snaps in the first half of KC's second preseason games. And you think about his age, you think about the incredible contract, you think about the hot start, one of the hottest starts for any quarterback in NFL history. So to question kind of makes sense. You know, his philosophy, Reed says, is he's done this for 23 years as a head coach. This is the way he's done it, making sure his star quarterbacks are ready for the season by playing them significantly in the preseason. And he says that's not going to change. So Mahomes played 33 snaps specifically in the second preseason game. You know, you look at Matt Stafford, you look at Aaron Rodgers, they're not even practically on the field during the preseason. You know, not that's not happening. But like Reed said, this is what he's always done, and he thinks it's good for the offensive line and Mahomes to see how things are, what's working, and to get a better feel for them, and et cetera. So this is what he does. You know, of course, ultimately, you could play devil's advocate and say, look, he always gets off to a fast start. He completes over 67% of his passes, and he's never lost a start in September. So do you really need to risk it in the preseason? Because there is always the risk of injury. So I think to question makes sense, but he digs in, Andy Reid, and he's not changing his opinion on why, you know, on why that's happening. All right, Tom Brady is always going to get asked this question. You know, at 44, when are you going to retire? Are you going to play past 44? Are you going to be 45 and be playing? I mean, he's going to hear these questions, and he has been hearing these questions, I think, since he hit 40. So now he kind of is hinting that he might be ready to retire. And you got to think of this Brady and seven-time Super Bowl winner. And now at this age, looking at playing past 45, and he said that he's almost reached the goal of playing past 45. So Pete King, who's done a ton of interviews with him, sat down with him from NBC Sports, and Brady seemed to pretty much say or insinuate or hint or whatever word you want to use that age is not a factor in his retirement, that he's going to keep playing as long as he thinks he's good enough to help his team win a Super Bowl. So that's my question to you. So we're sitting around here, we're looking at Brady, we're looking at his stats, we're looking at the team right now around him, which is younger. He could be the father of half of that team, the Tampa Bay Bucks. Does he become a quarterback who plays to 50? I mean, this question is never going to stop for him, by the way, until he says he's done. But he turned 44 on August 3rd, so he's going to meet that goal of playing until he's 45 if he can play for two more seasons. There's no reason to think he's not going to do that unless there's some kind of an injury. But remember, he played the entire 2020 season with a torn MCL, and he was still able to take the Buccaneers to a Super Bowl. I mean, this is his 22nd season, and he's pretty, you know, healthy at this point. So pick a number. Is it 50? I mean, you know, when does he stop? He said it. You know, he keeps going as long as he feels good and is helping the team. I mean, you know, with the way football's changed and depending on the offensive line and the players around him, you know, that could be for a serious amount of time. I'm just saying. All right, my favorite thing to see in baseball after all those years of covering baseball is the walk-off grand slam. And that happened the other day for the Red Sox. Red Sox hitter, I mean, just Travis Shaw slammed a pitch, and it crushed the Texas Rangers. And the Rangers have had a terrible season, of course, but it's nothing to do with that. He just found the right groove, the right pitch, and he kept the Red Sox right in it in this very tight American League wild card race on Monday with that 11th inning win at home over the Rangers in the rubber match of their three-game series. That walk-off grand slam off Dennis Santana, and I watched it again today. I mean, it was sweet. That pitch was 103 miles an hour, and he slammed it 423 feet to right field. And it's just the second walk-off grand slam hit by a Red Sox player in the last 20 years, which is why I mention it here in the Man Cave, because I like to see those kinds of things, and you don't see it that much. And certainly with the Red Sox, you didn't see it. And it was an exciting moment. The team jumped up all around him, which is what, of course, they would do, and they were pretty stoked. And that was a very, 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 needless to say, big, big, big win. All right, I'm bouncing back to football here for a second because of some of the protocols, you know, that are in place. And we haven't talked about them too much because it hasn't come in play really yet. But there's a story that came out about Cam Newton, the Patriots quarterback, that he's going to stay away from the team until Thursday of this week because of what they're calling a misunderstanding on COVID-19 tests that were done away from their NFL facility. So it didn't happen at the Pats place. His absence is after he traveled to a Patriots-approved medical appointment. This shows how easy this can happen. That required him to leave the New England area. He got a daily COVID test. They were negative, but due to this misunderstanding about tests conducted not there and the requirement by the NFL's protocols now, he is subject to the 5-day entry cadence process is what they're calling it before he returns to practice. You can't do that. So according to the protocols, Tier 1 and Tier 2 individuals, including all players, are exempt from daily testing and allowed to travel if they've received the COVID-19 vaccine. So he's going to continue to participate virtually in whatever the team's doing, but he's going to miss all the practices up until Thursday. And the Wednesday practice is the first of two with the New York Giants in Foxborough. So pretty interesting. So what do you do when Newton's not there? Well, you just move up through the next quarterback. So the next quarterback is Brian Hoyer, who's the veteran, or the first-round pick, Mac Jones. So Newton is the starting quarterback because Bill Belichick made that clear, that there's no competition, that he is the starting quarterback. And he's done reps throughout training camp. And he started both preseason games, so he's the guy. But with this protocol thing, he's put himself in that spot where, okay, well, he can't be in the drills that are there in the beginning of the week. And it's interesting because early in training camp, Newton was asked if he was vaccinated, and he didn't comment. He said it was a personal matter. And, you know, there's this thread that runs through some of these teams about it's a personal decision, all that kind of thing. And of course, the protocols that are in place this time around for this upcoming season are going to be pretty tough because what will happen is, depending on tests and whatnot, some teams could actually forfeit games, which I think that is not going to fly with a lot of teams. All right, Roger Goodell has spoken. The NFL commissioner was talking about the Bills' future in Buffalo, and he says a new stadium is what's needed, that you got to think long term, and for decades and decades and decades they need to get a new stadium to make sure they can be there, stay there, and be successful moving forward. That's the only thing that we think needs to happen, that there has to be some kind of a stadium in a public-private partnership or however they end up doing it, because Bills owners submitted a proposal for a $1.4 billion stadium across the street from the team's current well-known historic stadium, Orchard Park, which has a 10-year lease that ends in 2023. The Bills have played in Erie County in Highmark Stadium since 1973, the fourth oldest stadium in the NFL, to give you kind of some perspective of that. I've been to that stadium, and it was quite some time since I've been to that stadium, and I got to tell you, it wasn't looking the best then. So now fast forward another 15 years, and yeah, I'm thinking he's absolutely right that that's what has to happen there. I can't imagine there's not a big push for that to happen. All right, you can always send me your thoughts. You can always jump in on the Man Cave Conversation, kate@katedelaneyradio.com. Hang with us. Facebook with some great big plans for the first ever Elevate by Black Summit, an incredible opportunity with a training event that's free. It's a one-day virtual summit hosted by comedian, actress, and podcast host Michelle Boutte. Rachel Hawk, marketing manager for small business at Facebook, joins us. Rachel, give us more details.
This month, we're so excited to put a spotlight on Black-owned small businesses and offer a new training event, the Facebook Elevate by Black Summit. So many small businesses have suffered incredible loss over the last year, but Black-owned small businesses have been disproportionately affected by higher closure rates and lost sales. This virtual event will give new tools, insights, and inspirations for businesses on their road to recovery.
Rachel, where can we go for more information to sign up for the event?
To learn more about the Buy Black Summit or sign up to attend the event, go to facebook.com/buyblacksummit.
Thanks, Rachel. Again, facebook.com, Buy Black Summit.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNloans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNloans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNloans.com. That's GCNloans.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
She's in our virtual green room right now, and she's written a book called Who's Knocking at My Door? Terry Stadler joins us. And this book is a children's book, and she has such an interesting background, and we're going to talk about that, too. But, Terry, first of all, thanks for coming on the show, and what led you to writing this book?
Well, for a long time, I had thought about writing a children's book, and then I took a correspondence course, but that must have been, like, back in the 80s. But I never really achieved that, so I was working. I grew up in Ohio, and I ended up in Florida, thankfully. And I ended up working for an electronics firm, and I worked my way up through their bidding system. And eventually, I was doing the CAD work, which is computer-aided design, and I was an electrical drafter. I worked with the engineers, and I felt like, you know, that was great.
It is great. Listening to your background, that's what I said, your background was so interesting, the things that you learned to do as you worked your way up into what is really undeniably something that you need in the profession, an electrical drafter. Did you ever think that you would do that?
No, I never did. My husband was the one into electronics, but I had got this job, you know, on the floor, doing, you know, just putting things together in the electronics manufacturing. And then, like I said, I bid on this job, and eventually I started out in a photo lab where you make films that are printed to create these circuit boards. And then I worked my way up, and I ended up in, you know, in the computer-aided drafting, and I had to make production drawings, so I had to learn multiple types of software, and I had to prepare files to send out to printed circuit board. We no longer had a facility, And you have to check the files. They send them back to you. I mean, there was a whole lot to that job, quite a bit. And, of course, I worked close with the engineers and learned things from them, too.
Yeah. Wow. So now we come to the children's book and writing the children's book. Tell us about it. What's the story about?
Okay. By now I had retired and I moved from West Palm Beach over to Fort Myers to be closer to my daughter and her family. And I was, you know, thinking about a book and all. And then one day this incident occurred and I thought, that's what I'm going to write my book about. And that's, you know, what I did. I started putting it together, and my daughter created all of the artistic drawings inside, and, you know, I self-published it, and that's how I got started in it, really, was because, it involved an animal.
So tell us about the story about the animal coming to the door and the synopsis of the book. Give us a little taste of what the story is about.
Okay. I was just sitting like in the kitchen or something, and we heard this kind of loud banging coming from the living room, and none of us even went to the door, me nor my daughter. And then it kept going, so we thought, okay, she went to the door to see what it was. And as you know, it was a turtle. He was knocking at our door like he was going to come in or something. It was kind of comical. So then I started thinking about how we were feeding the fish and taking care of all of that and all the different birds and everything. And I felt like we were in a drought and that maybe he was looking for food.
So you base the story on that, about this unsuspecting visitor that comes to the door, and then you the idea is with the kids. What do you want the kids to know?
Okay, I want the kids to know that animals are a lot more than what we think they are. They have a conscience, too, and sometimes, without us even knowing it, they do want to contact us. And then, you know, if they don't, then they ignore us pretty much, and it teaches the child, you know, that not to be overly friendly or something, but that you can communicate with these animals, because I think that's what they want in some cases.
Yeah, to connect. And especially it's interesting with turtles. And I mentioned this to you. I had a turtle knock at my door, too. So
I remember.
Yeah. And it was shocking. But it was like you say, a surprise visitor. And then what do you do with the surprise visitor when the surprise visitor arrives? And I think for kids, they'll get a lot out of who's knocking at my door, and a lot of laughter, and a lot of, I think, understanding. And I guess that's part of the meaning to me is looking at that and seeing, well, what's the meaning in that? And you have meanings in it. And for you to write a children's book, was that pretty gratifying?
I thought so. Yes, I did. You know, it was a lot of work and a lot of putting your imagination in there. But again, you know, it's like, what was that turtle trying to communicate?
Yeah. And for you, it's like a family affair, as you mentioned, you know, moving closer to your daughter. And your daughter did the illustrations, right?
Right, that's right.
Yeah. Was that fun to work with your daughter?
It was. It was a lot of fun. We would go over the drawings she made, and I would try to figure out how many we needed and what we needed to draw. And she's pretty good because she's pretty artistic. She has always been that way. And as I told you before, my son, he's really interested in animals. He's always been interested and had an affinity for animals. And at some point in time early on, somebody gave him a little turtle, a stuffed turtle. Real big, but it was something he could put in his suitcase when he had to go somewhere, visit his cousins or something. And to tell you the truth, I think, you know, he still has that turtle, and like he's like in his 40s now.
Well, sometimes it's hard to let go of those things. I love it. So you can get the book on Amazon. You can get the book at Barnes & Noble, those kinds of places, certainly, for sure. For you, when you got the book, what was that feeling like when you saw the first copy and you got to see a copy of your book?
Well, I thought it was kind of exciting, and, you know, I sent one, of course, to my son, and then, you know, my different sisters and nieces and nephews, and we would read the story to them, you know, to the younger children. And I thought it was pretty gratifying. I know one of my nieces, she was laughing, and she wanted a copy. And at the time, I didn't really have an extra copy, but when this one got, it's going to be like number one on my list. Even though she's older now.
Yeah, perfect. All right, Terry Stadler, thanks so much for coming on the show again. Who's knocking at my door? Appreciate it.
And I appreciate the call. Thank you, Kate.
All right, so interesting in the choice of deciding to write a children's book, and that's why I think her story is interesting, where she talks about her profession as an electrical drafter, and for 36 years she's in electronics, and here she has this thing happen. And that's writing, right? So she has something happen that's unusual and kind of interesting, and something goes off in her head that tells Terry, you know what, this would be a good start for a children's book. This would work if you take the incident with the turtle and then you turn it into that story. And it's so beautifully illustrated. To me, that's what really popped out the front of the book, you know, who's knocking at my door, and the fact that it's based on this unusual, unsuspecting visitor, animal, coming to the door and coming up with this unusual experience. And with children's books, I have an affinity for children's books because, you know, one of the things that I remember about my dad, who was a writer, who, as many of you know who have listened to the show, he died when I was 8. But one of the things I remember is stories like Terry's that would grab me, that he would read to me, you know, something where I could put the images in my head and he would paint that picture by the way he read the stories. And this is very much like that, where with the right kind, you know, you've got whatever age child, and I think really they can even be a little bit older, but certainly really young children. Just the vividness of this, the 5-year-old, the 6-year-old, the 7-year-old, you know, probably 5 to 10 years old. It gets them interested in nature and animals, because I think in your head you paint the picture as you're listening to the story. It was really cool for me because it reminded me of those moments I had with him where the story would come to life and I could picture that animal, because we've read a lot of books that focused, I can remember this, on animals, and hers certainly does. And what a bond for parents and children, and just beautiful in those, again, those illustrations. So thanks to Terry for that, and thanks to all of you for listening to this version of the show. Hashtag make it count, everybody. This is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits of some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.